Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. As many as 60 hostages, among them a number of diplomats, are still being held captive by leftist guerrillas this morning at the Dominican Embassy in Bogota. Ed Rabel reports from the Colombian capital.
United States Ambassador Diego Asensio was able to telephone the American Embassy this morning, according to an embassy spokesperson. Asensio spoke with a senior embassy official, telling him there are high hopes the women and those wounded in yesterday's terrorist attack would be released sometime today. The embassy official told CBS News that the ambassador, who has served here since 1977, was, in his words, in very, very good spirits. Other embassy officials said the ambassador, who is being held along with a number of other ambassadors and diplomats, also spoke with his wife by phone. They gave no details of the conversation. The leftist gunmen holding Asensio and the others hostage are still demanding $50 million ransom and the release from jail of political prisoners. A government representative was supposed to meet with the terrorists today in a bid to negotiate the matter. Ed Rabel, CBS News, Bogota, Colombia.
The guerrillas have set a deadline of 10 o'clock tonight for the Colombian government to meet their demands. This is the 117th day of captivity for the American hostages in Tehran, and CBS News UN correspondent Richard C. Hontlett reports that officials at UN headquarters are still waiting for word from the Waldheim Commission of Inquiry in Tehran that arrangements have been made to see the hostages.
No such word has come, but until it does and the meeting takes place, the work of the commission will be drastically incomplete. So far, it has dwelt on one half of its mandate, hearing Iran's grievances. The other half is, quote, to allow for an early solution of the crisis between Iran and the United States, unquote, which officials here say means unmistakably the release of the hostages, since their continued imprisonment is the root of the crisis. In setting up the commission last week, Secretary General Waldheim declared that Iran desires to have the commission speak to each of the hostages. Qualified sources tell CBS News that the commission cannot submit its full report until it has met all the Americans, and that it might return to New York for consultations or for good if such a meeting is unduly delayed. However, as of now, UN officials expect the meeting to take place. This, they say, would be a clear indication that things are moving toward the hostages' release. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Foreign Minister Sadegh Gutbazadeh this morning again stated Iran's most recent position. The work of the commission, he said, is not related to the hostage issue, nor to the extradition of the Shah. But the French news agency quotes a member of the Revolutionary Council as saying that commission members may be able to see the hostages within a few hours. Senator Edward Kennedy, striving to recover from his loss to President Carter in the New Hampshire primary, moved to the Deep South yesterday, and we'll hear about that from Jed Duval.
An abrupt change of scene for the Kennedy campaign, from freezing New England to balmy Alabama, from the defeat in New Hampshire to the warm reception of a large black audience in Montgomery. There, Kennedy recalled the dream of Martin Luther King.
Deep in your hearts, you believed, in other days, that you would overcome. And so you did. And I was proud to be with you in that earlier time, and I'm proud to be with you now. Here I stand with you, and we shall not be moved.
The senator used his central campaign theme, inflation, to warn that rising prices will hurt blacks the most. The dream of economic justice is deferred, receding before our eyes, Kennedy complained, charging that the Carter administration welcomes a recession in 1980 as a way to fight inflation. Jed Duval, CBS News, with the Kennedy campaign, now in Washington.
Ronald Reagan, who won big in New Hampshire's Republican primary, tonight debates George Bush, who ran a distant second. Diane Sawyer in Boston tells us about the runner-up.
George Bush's campaign aides want their candidate to get a little bit angry today. Just angry enough, they say, to attack Ronald Reagan on the issues in the debate tonight. The debate, among all the Republican contenders, will be held in Columbia, South Carolina. South Carolina is a crucial state for Bush, who wants to prove his political viability in the South by finishing a strong second to Reagan in the primary there March 8th. The beating Bush took in New Hampshire last Tuesday convinced Bush's staff that Bush must take on Reagan directly and aggressively. If he does, they say, Bush can demonstrate that Reagan's grasp of complex economic affairs is only superficial. The question is whether the high-minded Bush, who is finishing a campaign stop in Massachusetts this morning, can bring himself to a direct attack. It's also a question whether the other candidates will give Bush much of a chance, since their prime goal is to knock Bush out of second and open up the race again. Diane Sawyer, CBS News with the Bush campaign in Boston, Massachusetts.
The tabulation of a Republican straw poll in the Minnesota precinct caucuses this week remains incomplete because of technical problems, and UPI says the final result may never be known. When the counting stopped, Reagan was in first place with 33%, Bush had 30%, Representative Anderson 13%. For the second time in 2 years, Japanese fishermen today conducted a dolphin kill, slaughtering hundreds of the animals that they say endanger their business. Bruce Dunning has details in Tokyo.
As conservationists watched, fishermen on Iki Island in southern Japan slaughtered several hundred dolphins trapped in a lagoon. Then the bodies were ground up in a huge shredder to be processed into fertilizer. One American conservationist, Hardy Jones, arrived at the scene shortly after the killing began.
The first thing we saw was that the water was absolutely red with blood. There were dolphins all over the beach in the area that we were standing in. Very large dolphins, 10 and 12 feet long, some of them perhaps even larger. Now, this particular group of dolphins had simply been held in nets until the tide went out, and they were therefore beached in the sun and were dying of dehydration.
Just 2 years ago, Iki Island fishermen aroused worldwide protests because they slaughtered large numbers of dolphins, and today, despite the protests, they insist they want to wipe out the dolphins, which they consider threats to their livelihood. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Rainstorms have washed out many of Rhodesia's rural roads, but Robin Wright reports that voting continues to be heavy on the second day of the country's three-day election.
British election officials are already predicting that turnout will be higher than 64%, which was last year's poll. At one rural station, the lineup of voters was almost 2 miles long. 3 million blacks are eligible to participate in Rhodesia's first recognized majority rule election to select a government for the new nation of Zimbabwe. It is widely believed in Rhodesia that Robert Mugabe, the Soviet-backed guerrilla leader, will win the highest number of seats in the new parliament, but not a majority. There is growing speculation in Salisbury that the other 8 parties may form a coalition to block Mugabe. Lord Selmes, the British governor of Rhodesia, is not required to ask the winner of the election to form a government if the winner does not hold a simple majority. The results will not be known until next week. The first Zimbabwe government is scheduled to be installed in mid-March. Robin Wright, CBS News, Salisbury.
This morning's medical bulletin from Yugoslavia reports that President Tito spent a peaceful night and his condition remains unchanged. Chicago's striking firefighters have approved a new proposal drawn up by union leaders and federal mediators. Jim Bennis of CBS radio station WBBM has details.
That proposal contains several concessions, including a no-strike clause and binding arbitration on 15 other disputed points. But the proposal does contain what might be a new key issue, a call for total amnesty, including a request that the city petition Judge John Heckinger to free Union President Frank Mascari, who was jailed for criminal contempt. Mascari addressed the union membership over a loudspeaker from a telephone in the Cook County Jail.
We understand now we're all worried about what kind of agreement we're going to go back to work with. If we'd have been negotiating, it would have been all over a long time ago. It's apparent this is a union bust. We promised everybody when we went out, 94% walked out of them firehouses. And we promised nobody goes back unless everybody goes back. And that's the way it's got to be.
Aides to Mayor Jane Byrne say that she will have no comment about the new proposal until the strikers put down their picket signs and go back to work. And meanwhile, the city continues its plans to press for the firing of 5 striking fire battalion chiefs at personnel hearings scheduled for Friday. Jim Bennis for CBS News, Chicago.
The price of gold remains stable overseas today and the dollar is mixed. Conditions in Kabul are reported generally normal for the first time since rioting against the Soviet invasion began last week. The Soviet Communist Party newspaper Pravda blames the U.S. for the recent disturbances and links them with President Carter's February 20th deadline for the withdrawal of Soviet troops.
CBS News. Guerrillas in Bogota yield a little. Good morning. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Leftists who hold the United States ambassador among 60 hostages in the Dominican embassy in Bogota say they'll release all the women and 2 wounded. The guerrillas say one of their members was killed during the takeover and they want 2 journalists to approach the building and remove his body. Earlier, the guerrillas had set a deadline of 10 this evening for the Colombian government to come up with a $50 million ransom, the publication of one of their political tracts, and the release of some 300 companions currently in Colombian jails. Now, the government says guerrillas have extended that 10 p.m. deadline indefinitely. The United States Ambassador Diego Asensio is in walkie-talkie contact with authorities, and he says there's no urgent need for medical care inside the held compound. More news after this.
How do famous hotheads keep their cool? The same way the rest of America does, with Carrier Central Air Conditioning, the round one. Famous hothead Earl Weaver.
Reliability is an important part of my game plan. And if you're unreliable, you can bet you're not on my team for long. So when the season gets hot, I keep my cool with Carrier.
Famous hothead Vic Tabak.
Price of gas, the price of oil, energy costs really get me hot under the collar. But I keep my cool with Carrier.
Keep your cool with Carrier.
Carrier means reliability, and nobody makes more efficient central air conditioning. That's why Carrier's number one.
Hey, I'll never lose my cool again, because now when you buy any round one air conditioner or heat pump, you get a Gen Air microwave oven for only $99.95.
Participating dealers only.
Keep your cool with Carrier.
Call your Carrier dealer. He's in the yellow pages.
In Tehran, the United Nations Commission looking into activities of the Shah will not meet with the hostages today, according to one member of the commission. Iran Radio had said earlier that the minister, Ghotbazadeh, was trying to arrange such a meeting. But it is said the militants who hold the hostages in the embassy are resisting the idea. This is the 117th day of American captivity. Tehran Radio also says today the public has it all wrong about those repeated helicopter crashes. These are not due to sabotage or to technical failure, the radio says. The copters are crashing because of bad weather and the enthusiasm of the young Iranian pilots, according to this broadcast. And the fact that Iran has expelled the foreign personnel who maintained those machines has not the slightest contributory effect. Chicago firemen strikes, 2 weeks old now. Newsman Don Perlman at WBBM has an update.
The hand-lettered sign outside one Chicago firehouse reads, "Blame the dame if the city's in flames." Striking firemen emphasize they made their move last night. They say they're ready to go back to work, but it is now up to Mayor Jane Byrne to resume the contract negotiations.
We're as strong as we were when we walked the first time. And if she wants to break us up,
yeah, I retract that. I don't.
She's going to have to fire us, because we're not going to come back to a job that is not going to be like we were when we first came on.
Union officials claim only about 370 of the city's 4,300 firemen are on duty. The city has hired nearly 670 recruits to begin taking the places of the strikers. Don Perlman for CBS News, Chicago.
Conservationists are aghast. It's what's happening in southern Japan. The fishermen on Iki Island are slaughtering dolphins by the dozen because they compete for fish. Hardy Jones is a cameraman who has witnessed the killings.
There was a group of about 60 fishermen who had perhaps 100, perhaps even as many as 200 dolphins in a small net, and they were walking out into the water in wetsuits and putting ropes around the dolphins' tails, and then groups of about 15 or 20 fishermen would be given a signal on the shore and they would run. This would pull the dolphin out of the water very, very quickly, and he would hit the beach, and then a man with a spear would stab the dolphin a number of times.
More after this.
There's always one that stands out in the crowd. Now, through March 8th, JCPenney is the one, with 20% off on all our pantyhose at $1.09 and up. Even the cotton shaper pantyhose. And 20% off on all our panties, too. Briefs or bikinis, sensible panties or sensational panties. This is one sale you won't walk away from.
This is JCPenney.
Now you can buy your dog or cat insurance against fleas and ticks for 5 months and protect your home and family too. Just get your pet the Hearts 2-in-1 Plus collar, the first collar to kill fleas and ticks for 5 months, a full 5 months of effective protection. And the Hearts collar's fast-acting odorless ingredients won't vaporize, stays on your pet, keeps working even if the collar gets wet. Put the Hearts 2-in-1 Plus collar on your dog or cat now. Kills fleas and ticks for 5 months.
On Wall Street at the hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 3.24. Volume on the big board has been 10.7 million shares. The index now is at 858.36. The first new tank produced by this country in 22 years is rolling off the production lines in Ohio this morning. It's the XM-1, Chrysler built, with a turbine engine and armor half a foot thick. The XM will go 45 miles an hour on the highway, burns lots of diesel fuel, but with its 105-millimeter gun, it can get all it needs. Reed Collins, CBS News.
CBS News. Some signs of encouragement at the Dominican Embassy in Bogota, Colombia. I'm Richard C. Hotelet, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The terrorists holding some 60 hostages in Bogota said they would release all the women and two wounded captives being held at the Dominican Embassy. Approximately 25 women were among those seized when the guerrillas stormed the embassy yesterday during a reception for Dominican Republic's National Day. In addition, the terrorists have lifted tonight's deadline for the Colombian government to pay a $50 million ransom and to release more than 300 political prisoners from jails in the country. Earlier, the guerrillas had threatened to kill their hostages, including the United States ambassador to Colombia, Diego Asensio. More news after this.
How many cold tablets do you take a day? Two?
More.
Four?
More.
Six?
Yeah.
A day?
Uh-huh.
And then more at night?
Right.
Why?
Well, they're new.
Take Contac. One capsule helps all your congestive symptoms up to 12 hours.
All day?
And all night while you sleep. That's the wonder of Contac.
Hey, you're the guys on TV.
Yeah, we're the guys on TV.
Take your Contac. Take it fast. Give your cold to Contac.
Take only as directed.
There's always one that stands out in the crowd. Now, through March 8th, JCPenney is the one, with 20% off on all our pantyhose at $1.09 and up. Even the cotton shaper pantyhose. And 20% off on all our panties, too. Briefs or bikinis, sensible panties or sensational panties. This is one sale you won't walk away from.
This is JCPenney.
Felix Roatan, the banker who helped save New York City from financial collapse, says the United States is now headed for, in his words, national bankruptcy. In a speech prepared for the Conference Board, a business-financed research organization, Roatan says, what is happening to the United States in 1980 is similar to what happened to New York City in 1975. The present near collapse of the credit markets, Roatan goes on, means we are headed for national bankruptcy, in this case called runaway inflation, unquote. Roatan advocates a freeze on wages and prices, a large gasoline tax, and cuts in federal spending. As of today, people who buy homes will have to pay as much as 13%, a record high, in interest on government-backed mortgages. The increase announced yesterday by the Veterans Administration and the Federal Housing Administration is the second in less than 3 weeks. The move was triggered by the Federal Reserve Board's tighter credit policy, making less money available for borrowing. Kenneth Thigerson of the U.S. League of Savings Associations explains what this means in human terms.
For most home buyers, this is the kind of period where one can anticipate a wait-and-see attitude, hope that this situation improves towards the end of the year. And for most Americans, it means that you're just going to have to delay the purchase of a home for some period of time. Some of the younger people are going to have to live in their apartments or live with their parents. And other people that wanted to upgrade their housing are just going to have to wait.
China revealed today that it intends to move into nuclear power in a big way to provide energy in parts of the vast country which cannot be served economically by coal and oil. Donald Yu reports from Hong Kong.
At a top-level nuclear scientists meeting in Peking, the Chinese revealed their intention to begin developing nuclear energy. China already has nuclear weapons, and the atomic industry seems to have been protected from the political turbulence of the past decade. But so far, the Chinese have not gone in for nuclear power plants. Orders for two nuclear plants from France were suddenly canceled last year during the period of reassessment of the modernization program. That has apparently not dampened the enthusiasm of the Chinese to try it on their own. The new plan unveiled at the conference calls for the construction of three giant nuclear accelerators, which are meant to put Chinese atomic research on a par with developed nations. Donald Liu for CBS News, Hong Kong.
The stock market report after this.
Announcing IBM's newest small computer. If you're ready, we can deliver it for less than $13,500. The new IBM 5120 computing system is ideal for a growing business. It's available with the most commonly needed programs already done for you. And it's been designed so your own people can operate it with very little training. The 5120 features a simple keyboard, display screen, diskette storage, and printer, all for under $13,500. What's more, IBM's installation support aids and a special IBM hotline to answer questions will help you get your new 5120 up and running in short order. If you'd like to arrange a personal demonstration of the new IBM 5120 computing system, call your local IBM General Systems Division office or call 800-631-5582. That's 800-631-5582. Call today and find out how a small computer can make a big difference.
On Wall Street, a higher opening has lost a bit of steam. At this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 1.71. Volume on the big board, 18,020,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands now at 856.83. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
The hostages in Iran, the Russians in Afghanistan, those are important concerns of many Americans. But they're both distant and transitory. They've helped enormously to build support for the president in recent months, but that kind of support may have just about crested. In the meantime, inflation is proving a much more persistent wolf much closer to the door of every American family, and it appears now to be Mr. Carter's greatest political enemy. According to surveys conducted by CBS News and the New York Times, a majority of Democrats consider the economy the most important issue of this election campaign. A majority also is in favor of wage and price controls. The president, of course, is opposed to mandatory controls, while Senator Kennedy is for them. So far, economic problems have not seriously hurt the president among Democrats, but New Hampshire, though a clear victory, offered some warning signals. 39% of the Democratic voters there said the economic situation of their own families had gotten worse. Among those who said that, 55% voted for Senator Kennedy. Obviously, there are many Democrats who are worried about inflation, but who do not blame Mr. Carter for it, or at least not enough to vote against him. But with the problem worsening almost daily, any perception that the White House is not acting forcefully to check it is bound to take its political toll and may already have begun to do so. Kennedy did seem to increase his support in the latter days of the New Hampshire campaign, and poll results suggest that his stand on the economic issues may have made the biggest difference. With victories in Iowa, Maine, New Hampshire, and Minnesota, Mr. Carter's position looks outwardly strong and his campaign in very good shape. But along with figures such as the 49% by which he won in New Hampshire, his people will have to keep in mind the 14% by which the cost of living index rose last year and the 18% by which it would rise this year if inflation should continue at its rate last month. The president has escaped some of the political fallout of inflation by noting correctly that energy prices are an important cause. But that's not a sufficient explanation. It does not, for instance, explain why our inflation rate more than triples that of Japan, which imports virtually all its oil. The difference in those inflation rates is called domestically originated inflation, and no administration can long escape blame for it. There are, of course, other contrasts. Inflation increased in Turkey last year by more than 56%. But that doesn't make the price of a cab ride in New York any cheaper. And it won't buy any votes in Campaign 80.
You can call Best Western any day or night.
We'll get you a room that will be just right.
Round the world, lodging for you. When you want Best Western, here's all you do. Call 1-800-528-1234. Best Western, 1-800-528-1234. Best Western.
This is Douglas Edwards reporting for CBS News. This is The World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The siege continued today at the Dominican Republic's embassy in Bogota, Colombia, but the guerrillas released a number of hostages in exchange for food.
This was the scene, outside a ring of police, and inside the embassy amid the leftovers from a diplomatic reception, the heavily armed guerrillas, and the diplomats. The latest from Ed Rabel.
Urban guerrillas who took over the Dominican embassy in Bogota yesterday have released some of their hostages. At least 10 women were permitted to leave the embassy after the Red Cross removed the body of a terrorist killed in yesterday's attack. Two persons said to be slightly wounded were also carried from the embassy building. The gunman still holds several ambassadors, including Diego Asensio of the United States, a career diplomat who has served here since 1977. Meanwhile, the Red Cross delivered to the embassy under orders from the terrorists boxloads of food and supplies, leading observers to speculate that the episode could last for some time. The gunmen are reportedly demanding that hundreds of political prisoners be released from Colombian jails and a $50 million ransom be paid for the freedom of the hostages. Ed Rabel, CBS News, Bogota, Colombia.
The hostage fever spread from Bogota to Panama today. A small band of unarmed students seized El Salvador's embassy there, held hostages for a few hours, and then left. They said it was a sign of solidarity for the repressed people of El Salvador. And encouraging news from Iran. The official news agency says the militants holding the American hostages there will let them be seen by the UN Commission of Inquiry. More news after this.
Corporate average fuel economy. The government's measure of a car company's overall annual gas mileage based on total projected model year sales. According to data submitted in December 1979, of the four largest American car companies, the one with the best corporate average fuel economy for 1980 cars is not General Motors. It's not Chrysler or American Motors. It's Ford Motor Company. And we use some incredible technology to do it. Space-age computers trimmed hundreds of pounds from our cars to help save gas without sacrificing comfort. We used massive wind tunnels to help improve the aerodynamics to save gas. And we developed an electronic brain that makes the engine think twice before wasting gas.
If you could see tomorrow.
Tomorrow's here right now.
The way it looks to us today.
Making cars to save gas.
You'd say incredible.
And Ford technology is paying off.
Ford is that incredible.
Remember, CAFE is an average, so consult EPA listings for mileage of individual cars.
Tomorrow is the Muslim Holy Day, and there are reports that Soviet and Afghan troops have been placed on the alert for more disturbances. David Fitzpatrick, a CBS News producer, is following the story from neighboring Pakistan and has this report.
Tonight, Kabul was reported generally calm. Most shops in the city were open today, and office workers were said to be back at their desks after staying home most of the week. Meanwhile, reports have emerged of a mass execution last Friday in Kabul by Soviet troops in retaliation there for street fighting. Two rebel groups with headquarters here in Peshawar, 30 miles from the Afghan border, said they had heard of some reprisals but could not say what form they had taken. And a spokesman for the largest guerrilla organization here said he had heard nothing of the mass executions. There are five major Afghan rebel groups operating in the countryside. All are competing for the glory of being freedom fighters against the Soviet troops. So accounts of massacres in the streets of Kabul or rebel victories over Russian tanks are often difficult, if not impossible, to confirm independently. David Fitzpatrick, CBS News, Peshawar, Pakistan.
There's a dangerous fallout from all the turmoil in Southwest Asia, a drug problem. Jim McManus has that story.
Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti said a flood of high-grade heroin is on the way to the United States. The illicit overflow of record opium poppy harvests in Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Drug Enforcement Administration officials warned that Southwest Asian heroin is flowing through Western Europe toward U.S. cities. DEA's Enforcement Chief, Marion Hambrick, told the gathering of state and local officials there is evidence the network once known as the French Connection is being rebuilt.
We hope that we can have some type of success against it, but it's going to come. We're not going to stop it, and we need to get together to do as much as we can today to try to make as big a dent in it as possible.
Drug Enforcement Administrator Peter Bensinger said political upheaval in Iran and Afghanistan has destroyed DEA's efforts there to choke off the heroin at the supply end before it enters international pipelines. Jim McManus, CBS News, Washington.
More news when the World Tonight continues.
To someone else, it's just another rocking chair. When you move with us, we'll treat it like our own. caring makes us careful every day.
A cold? That's all I need.
For aches and fever, all you need is Bayer aspirin.
The flu? That's all I need.
For aches and fever, all you need is Bayer aspirin. Of all medicines available for aches and fever of cold or flu, doctors recommend aspirin most. And Bayer is 100% pure aspirin. If this winter...
All I need is a cold or flu.
Rest, fluids, and for aches and fever, all you need is Bayer aspirin. Use only as directed.
The first new American tank in 20 years rolled off the assembly lines today. They're going to call it the Abrams tank after the former commander in Vietnam, and his widow christened it today with a bottle of champagne. The price for the tank, not the champagne, about $1 million. Ike Pappas reports.
The band may have been playing When the Saints Come Marching In, but it was the tanks that came rolling into the huge Chrysler production plant today. The Army calls the XM-1 a wonder tank, faster and more powerful than any other built by the United States. But its main critic, the General Accounting Office, a congressional watchdog agency, believes the tank has not been fully tested and production should be cut. Modifications have been made since early engine problems were discovered, and General Edward Meyer, the Army Chief of Staff, says the tank is ready for the field.
I just completely disagree with the GAO on that. We are developing a maturing tank.
There is still another problem facing the XM-1. American intelligence says the Soviets are about to field their own new super tank, the T-80, which could equal or surpass the XM-1's capability even before it can get to Europe. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Lima, Ohio.
And we'll have the Wall Street Report in a moment.
Did you know that Manischewitz Cream White Concord has become one of the most popular wines in the whole country? You're surprised. It's a surprising wine. Light, fruity, not sweet. A Canadian friend introduced me to it. He discovered Cream White Concord through an American history professor who first tasted it at the home of a Chinese delegate to the UN. He'd been to a Passover dinner with a newspaper man. Surprised? Just taste Manischewitz Cream White Concord. That'll really surprise you. Manischewitz Wine Company, New York.
Call 1-800-528-1234.
You can call Best Western any day or night.
We'll get you a room that will be just right.
Round the world, lodging for you when you want Best Western. Here's all you do. Call 1-800-528-1234. Best Western, 1-800.
A quiet day on Wall Street with the market churning up, then down. The Dow Jones Industrials closed around 854, down a fraction, 0.68. The average price per share was down 2 cents in trading on the New York Exchange. Volume there today, over 40 million shares. The average price was up 12 cents on the American Exchange. Wall Street on this World Tonight.